And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Amy Willis, who during her near-death experience had a conversation with Jesus, which we're going to learn about today and more. Amy, thank you for joining us and welcome.
Hi, everyone, and thank you, Jeff, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we're excited to have you. And Amy, if you don't mind, let's start on the day that you had this NDE and go from there.
Okay. I had gotten back from Nashville to see my my family and my daughters and grandsons for Christmas. And while I was there, I contracted strep throat and I did not know it. I just thought I was kind of sick, you know, with a cold or something. And so I was working and everything sick. And I got just way worse. And so by Friday, it got to the point where I work at home, so I couldn't even sit up and work. And I got worse. So my husband had to take me to the emergency room. And so while I was there, I passed out in the emergency room and they took me back in the room. So they come back and tell me that I have sepsis. And then they said I had an abscess in my throat and that they needed to do emergency surgery because it was blocking my airway. And I'm trying to just make this a long story short. So I had surgery. And while I was having surgery, I went into acute respiratory failure, cardiac arrest, and they put a ventilator in me, and then they put me into a coma. So this is kind of what I kind of know. And then my body, I went to septic shock, and it was severe sepsis with septic shock, I apologize. And then my body started shutting down. So my kidneys were shutting down, my liver and my heart, just everything. And my fever was 106, and like my heart stopped. So that's when I went up to heaven.
So are you saying that the last thing you remembered was being in the waiting room and maybe like falling asleep?
I was in the waiting room. I went to tell them I was feeling funny. Like it was very strange, like nothing. I've been really sick before, and I had even had a stroke back in 2009, and this was intense. And like, it was almost like my body was telling me like red flag, like something's wrong. So I told my husband, I'm going to go tell them, you know, I'm feeling funny. And I walked up to tell her and she kind of barked at me, you know, to wait my turn. And I'm like, I understand I'm not feeling, but then I just passed out. Mm. And then the next thing I remember, I was back in the room and they were telling me that I'm going to have emergency surgery because I have sepsis. And then I have a abscess in my throat that's blocking off my airway.
And then they put you under, and then the next thing you knew, you were out of your body.
Yes, because I remember being in the operating room when they, because they were calling saying they need an operating room stat and, you know, doing that. I was kind of like freaking out, like, because it, you know, it happens so fast. You're having a normal day and then all of a sudden that. And so I remember being in the operating room. And then the next thing I remember is like, I left my body, but I was automatically in the presence of Jesus.
So you weren't even hanging around the hospital room watching.
No.
You just went from your body to another realm with Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
So when you got there to this realm, what did it look like?
When I first got there, the first thing that I'm noticing is my body's felt, well, I'm thinking I still have a body. I was a little confused because your consciousness is still there. You're thinking, you know, things, how, you know, how you do, like when you're observing, like, huh, this is odd, and you're talking to yourself. And that's what I was doing. And then I'm seeing, like directly in front of me, there's a river that curves through, and I see these two beautiful trees. But the thing is, like, if you've ever been to see Christmas lights, like a really beautiful, like, exhibit of them. And you see them everywhere. Like the way things are illuminated there, it's like the beautiful thing, but in light. Like if you're seeing it during the daytime. And I have not found a way to describe colors I've seen there. Like they have our colors, but they're just more. And then it's like within every shade, it's like you see about a, like maybe 10, you know, kind of different shades, like illuminating that. So everything is so beautiful. So I'm starting to think, wow. And then I'm noticing that everything is like, it's, you're not talking with a mouth, but I'm noticing like, okay, you're getting that everything is communicating with you. Like you see animals there, you see like the grass and then the, like, it just looks like a, like paradise, like we would envision, but just so much more. But then just notice like, okay, is, you know, as the animal, are they talking to me? And like, almost like they're welcoming you, you know, you're, it's kind of like, and then I start to feel, I can feel Jesus. And it's like, he's being a gentleman, kind of sitting back, letting me get acclimated to being there. But I feel this overwhelming sense of love is what I felt like a love that you're like, wow. And it was like, I could just feel that he was so happy to have me there. And I'm not hearing words. So I'm feeling that he's so happy to have me there. And then I've kind of been kind of awkward my whole life. Like I just kind of don't fit in easy. So, and I'm letting people, I want you to like hear that, because if you've ever been in that like position or you feel like that in a room, then you kind of like know that kind of weird feeling, but he's not there. It's like, I'm totally accepted for who I am, and he's happy I'm there. And that's all I feel. And that was cool. I was just thinking, wow. And then I look over, and to me, it's like he's a bright light, a really bright, like beautiful light. And it's kind of like looking at it like when you're driving and the sun is like creeping in your car and you're trying to put the visor down. It's like that. But I mean, you're not like blinded to where you can't, you know, but that's what it reminds me of. Just this like, wow. But I'm noticing that like we're communicating. And again, it's you're not moving your mouth talking. It's like a knowing. I like his spirit is talking to mine, but I feel excitement. And it's like my spirit just starts to wrap around his, like if I were to give my father a hug, you know, it was like that's how you hug there, is like our spirits like wrapped around each other. And I just felt him just letting me know how much he loved me and how happy he was. Like I felt home. And I noticed the only thing like I noticed, like to even think of back, like in like our world, because it was like I totally stepped out of time. Like I feel time here, you know, like you're on a schedule and you're aging and you can feel time, but you don't feel it there. It just, you feel so free. And then it was like, I'm sorry for I lost my train of thought, but I was free and I had stepped out of that. Oh, and I have really bad arthritis and that can be really painful. And it kind of, you know, gives your body a heaviness, but that was totally gone. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this feels amazing. Like just amazing. And then that's when I had just really just noted, like I felt his presence really strong, and then, you know, started to communicate with him.
What are some of the most profound things that he telepathically told you?
It was like telling me how much he loved me, how happy he was to have me home. In the Bible, there's the story of the prodigal son. And I always think of this because the prodigal son, there was two brothers with the father. And one of the sons wanted to take his inheritance and leave and go do what he wanted to do. And he ended up squandering it. Like he blew it. Like, I mean, our day, he probably like he would blow it on women and partying and, you know, the casino. Like he went and lived it up. And then he was out of money, and all the people that loved being around him when he had money, they left him. So he was left destitute with nothing. And it said he was trying to work for people, and he was eating slop with the pigs, you know. And he said, I'm going to go try to go home to my father. Maybe he'll let me be a servant in his house. But it's that, you know, the father was always looking for him to come home. Like it said, he stood out watching for him. And when the son came on the path home, he saw him, and the father ran out and grabbed him and hugged him and kissed him and put a robe on him and a ring on his finger. And he told everyone in the house, my son is home, and let's throw a feast in his honor. It was like he didn't ask him, and what did you do with your money? What are you doing back here? That's it. It's that story. I think of that because, man, I've done a lot of things. He could have been like, I don't know what you think you're doing here. You know, like but it was nothing like that. He totally accepted me. He loved me, and he was happy that I was home. And like, while you're there, your heart, while you're talking to him, where you feel your heart in your chest, like you still feel the heart, but it's continuously praising him. You can hear the angels singing and praising him and see them in a distance. And then like I said, when the grass and the animals and everything, you can feel praises come because there's a constant sound there that it's just love and happiness and praise. Like there's nothing negative. But the thing that it touched me the most is I, you know, a lot of things I've done, even after, you know, like, I mean, you hear like us Christians just say, you know, when I was saved or I accepted Jesus as my personal savior, the Bible does tell us when you do that your sins are forgotten as far as the east is from the west, and they're buried into the depths of the sea. But it's like you still worry, like, I hope that's true. You know what I mean? You don't know that to be true for sure because it is, you know, it's a book telling you that. You believe it, you feel it, but I experienced it and it was amazing. He did not bring up one thing, not even things I could have done better. It was just a happy dad to see me.
Before the experience, were you a Christian? And if so, how did your faith change afterwards?
Yes, I was. And I had a very close personal relationship with him, because I had been through, I feel like a lot of people ask me, well, how did you know that was Jesus? Because I knew him before. That presence, like I feel him, I can hear him speak to me. Like I've heard him audibly speak to me, as crazy as that may sound, but it's the truth. So I knew him, but you know, being in his presence like that was different. But I can tell you now too, like I used to question, you know, am I really hearing him? Is this what he wants me to do? Because I pray a lot. I love, you know, I love church. I love the people I go to church with. I love spending time with them. But actually being in his presence changed a lot. So now when I have dreams and he's there, or I feel like he's guiding me and stuff, I feel that presence where I know it's him. And before I went up there, I really suffered from anxiety really bad, really, really bad. And the amazing thing that happened is being in his presence, it totally got rid of that. When I it's like after I came out of the coma and everything and off the ventilator, I've been a way different person ever since. Like the old me probably wouldn't be able to be sitting here talking to you right now. I probably would have passed out.
Well, if we go back to your NDE, you were with Jesus, you were communicating with him. Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
Okay, now this is a really cool part. This is, so as I'm talking to him, he said, "Amy, look to the right." And because he was like to my left, so I look over to my right, and in a distance, I'm seeing all these little balls of it's like a golden light, but like I said, when the colors, it's like every color has like 10 shades, kind of illuminated, like just so beautiful. But I see them just all over, and you know, I'm like, okay, wow, that's really neat. So one of the balls of light, it starts like to come towards me. And it's still a ball of light, but my spirit starts to like recognize it. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. And then the closer it got, I then like immediately knew it was my mother. My biological mother died when I was 10, and sepsis killed her. So the same thing was trying to take me out is what killed her. But then, like, when I felt like an excited feeling, like, then I was like, look, that's my mom. So the ball of light started coming real fast to me. And then she appeared in like how I remember her to look at in her 20s. Like, she was really beautiful. And she was showing up and she had, you know, she was smiling real big and real happy to see me. But again, like her mouth wasn't moving to talk to me. It's like we had that knowing and our spirits were just communicating. And like I was ecstatic to see her. And it's just like we were just kind of talking until Jesus told me, "Amy, your mom is going to be really happy to see you when you come home, but it's just not your time yet." And that's when I had to leave her. And he took me to see other things and show me other things.
What else did he show you?
Okay, when we left there, he started to walk through like a beautiful like paradise type of place. Like there's grass there, there's trees, that the river that runs through it. There's but like the sidewalks are made of gold. Like, well, what we call sidewalks. So we're walking on like a path that's like made of gold. And so he's talking to me and he's telling me to like, he's telling me that the most important thing to him is to have a personal relationship with everyone. And he's stressing to me how much he loves everyone. And while he's telling me that, he's like, I need to show you some things. He's like, yeah. All of a sudden it's like I look over and then I see like out into like black space, you know, with stars and stuff, and I see Earth, and then I see all these like lights like popping up out of it everywhere. And he said, "Those are glory hubs." And I was like, okay. And so the glory hubs is like place that like host his presence, that have people there that love Jesus. And so, you know, like the lights coming out, and then he takes me down to Earth, and we go to where one of those what he called a glory hub. And then all of a sudden, like different types of churches pop up, and it's not like the Protestant church was included. Like some of the churches they pop up, a Catholic church, the temple for the Mormon, the Kingdom Hall for Jehovah Witness, and like a Buddhist temple, like all kinds of different places. And he says, these are like places that they don't reflect me, because he died for us and there's nothing that we can do to earn his love. Him dying saves us. And he said, when these churches pop up, they start to be filled with people that teach others that there's things that you have to do for him to love you. Like you have to clean yourself up first, or like, you know, show me the difference. Like, and then he like to show me that he was playing memories in my mind. Like when, because I had two children out of wedlock, and then there was certain ways I was treated in the church, or I was totally rejected. I've been rejected by a lot of churches for certain lifestyles that I've lived and things that I've done. And he was showing me that, but that's not him. He's showing me, I want everyone to come to me just as they are. He's like, you know, explaining to me, he's made us all different for a reason, and he wants us to come to him, that he created us, he loves us, and to come to him. And he just kept just stressing how much he loved us.
Do you feel after your experience with Jesus that even if a person wasn't a Christian, he would still be accepted and loved?
Yes, I do. I honestly do. And I will go as far as to say, this is my personal belief. And like I said, I will say this. My personal belief is, because the Christian community teaches that if you don't accept him before you die, you go straight to hell. I don't believe that. I honestly don't believe that. He is so loving that I honestly believe that even after you die, that he's still there to meet you, and you have a chance to either accept him or reject him. I do believe that till the very end, he's right there pursuing people, wanting them to be with. I really truly feel that all he wants is to have all of us be with him for all of eternity and just love us. I really believe that.
If we go back to when you encountered your mother, you said she was like a ball. Sometimes we call that an orb. Would that be the same thing for you? Like some type of orb of light?
You mean an orb like a halo?
Like a round ball of light.
She came
to you in like a round ball of light. And then she changed from that maybe into like a full figured person.
Like a transfiguration.
All right. You were down on earth with Jesus. And then how did you get back into your body?
Then he showed me that. So we went back up and he showed me that there's that sound in heaven I was telling you about, because like while you're talking to him, while you're like, you just constantly feel your heart worshiping him, even though like, the mouth's not there, but like that knowing kind of thing, it comes from two different places. So as you're communicating with him, like you're worshiping, but everything else is too. And it's like, there's a constant sound there and it's just beautiful. But you're just hearing that. So like he's showing me that sound, but then he shows me how that sound travels down to earth. So heaven, almost literally like heaven speaking to earth constantly. And that's just him pursuing, just, you know, wanting like, I love you. I want a relationship with you. Just like really putting that out there. Then he showed me, he said, Amy, look over that way. And I looked and he said, that's the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is just anything, the enemy that goes against Jesus and what he wants. So when he showed me that he was doing his hand like this, so I was seeing him as like a man. But he was showing me like, he was doing his hands like this, and he was leaning back with like a smug look on his face going like this. And he had long white hair. And he almost looked like the dad on Harry Potter, you know, like the evil dude, the kid in Slytherin. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, but he looked like the evil dad. And he was doing that. And he showed me that the enemy has a sound too. And he was showing me with the Antichrist. He said, it's almost like he was smoking a cigarette. And, you know, you blow the smoke. That's what it looked like coming out of his mouth. And it was going down in like this, like a long, like sidewalk pathway, but it was like the smoke look. And then you could see like a treble clef, a staff, you know, and like the notes on it. And it was going down to earth. And as it went down to earth, you could see actual demonic figures like walking down there. And it's like, he's showing me how he was like sending and that like, almost, I want to call it a sound wave, was going into our TVs and our cell phones and like anything that it could transmit into to talk and say things to people. And this is the sound that I was talking about, because a lot of times it's religious people. It's what we call a religious spirit, is they're telling you, well, you're going to go to hell if you do this. And you're, you know, that constant judgment and condemnation. That's not Jesus. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Other people will make it seem like Antichrist is this figure that teams up with certain types of people and and goes against all Christians, and that, and it's not that. It is a spirit. It's a religious spirit that teams up with him and tries to make you feel like you're not worthy, and then condemns you and shames you. And that is not Jesus at all.
Did Jesus say anything else about the Antichrist?
No, he was showing me. He was showing me how he sends out his message, and he said he constantly, you know, it's like it's a constant spiritual battle, because Jesus is pushing out love and acceptance, and it's like I'm thinking of, you know, the Corinthians, well, 1 Corinthians 13, where it tells you love is patient, love is kind. Like, that definition is, that's what Jesus is putting out to all of us. But then that spirit of Antichrist is coming back, like, no, he, you know, and like getting to, like, influencing the people to tell them, like, to be judgmental and condemning, and you know, make people feel like that bully type, you know, to exclude people, like, and make up their own, like, man-made religion, their own laws and stuff, to say, no, this is what you have to do. If you want to be in Jesus's presence, you have to do this. And that's not true. The only thing you have to do is want to be with him. That's all. That's it. There is no special, you know, dialogue or anything. You just be with him, and then you start having a relationship.
It's interesting to think about, because some people will say that in this realm where we live, there's duality, good and evil. Mm-hmm. But in the other realm where you were during your NDE, there's only love.
Yes.
So
when from that distance, I'm seeing that you're right. The spiritual realm, because there's constant the spiritual warfare. So there's demonic activity and there's angels, and they're constantly warring against each other. For it's like the battle of good and evil.
That's on the other side that's happening?
It's okay, like, it's like heaven is up, and then in between where heaven and earth is, like what we call like outer space, the universe. Mm-hmm. The universe is where the spiritual battles or spiritual warfare is taking place, with demonic activity and angelic activity. But there's also demons and angels on earth as well. They're interacting with us constantly.
Do you think the Antichrist is just as powerful as Jesus, but in a negative way?
Not at all. No. No, he's here for a certain amount of time, to you know, cause problems, and then I believe his time will be done.
All right.
But he controls us with a spirit of fear. I believe he constantly, and then the best way to, you know, make you feel bad about yourself is to make you feel rejected and not wanted, and that's a lie. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy.
All right. So Jesus showed you the Antichrist and what he's up to. Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
Okay, and then then it was time for me to come home, and, or, you know, go home. Our home is heaven, but it's like, it's time for me to go back. And he told me again, it's time for you to go back. It's not your time yet. And I was very upset. I begged to stay. I didn't want to go back. It just being with him was just it. It was like, It just, everything, you're fulfilled and you're home. And I, and as much as people know me, as much as I love my family, especially, you know, my daughters and grandchildren and stuff, I hate to say this, but it's just the truth. It's like, you're not even thinking about anything back there. It's just, you're not thinking about your past at all. You're just home. So that's when I was like, it kind of hit me. I was like, I don't want to go back, please. So he took me to this city of gold. Like, everything was golden there. Like the roads, the sidewalk, the gate, like, and it looked like a huge palace. And then he appeared to me as a man figure, and he looked a whole lot like the Jesus in The Chosen, that the series called The Chosen. And I love that series. So I don't know if he just appeared, you know, to make me comfortable. Cause, you know, during my departure, is like, The thing is he loves us so much. It's like he's trying to make it so comfortable for me that it's like he designed like the experience just for me. Like it would have, I believe it would have been different for you. So it was designed for me to feel comfortable and loved and guided. And so he turned into that Jesus and he was dancing with me and he was talking to me face to face. And it was just glorious. And then like when it was my time to go, because it's like he danced me into it. And then like he was releasing me down and he leaned down and he said, Amy, remember this. And he said, Epata Eptata. And I was like, huh? He said, remember this. And I felt his breath on my face. He said, Epata Eptata. And then I started to go back where he like saw him from a distance. And he said, Amy, remember Epata Eptata. And then I was back in my body.
Hmm. What does Epata Eptata mean?
I was hoping you would ask because it took weeks and hours of prayer. And finally, it's amazing beginnings. Epata is Spanish and Eptata, I think, is Arabic. I had my friend Christina help me because Christina speaks Spanish. Mm. But then like it was like the connection with us. She said, oh, that's Arabic. You know, we're for the beginning. I knew the Epata part was amazing. And then I finally, like, it's like I had to have help. And then I got that last part. I was like, oh, my goodness. Because it's been amazing beginnings ever since.
What does that mean to you then? Amazing beginnings.
I have come alive. I really suffered from anxiety. And like, I'm really in tuned to discerning spirits around me. There's a lot of angelic and demonic activity here, but there's also a lot of evil spirits, but there's ministering spirits and there's good spirits. But I had a lot going on where I was just being really influenced by a spirit of fear. So I dealt with a lot of anxiety and it just, I isolated myself a lot. I stayed home. It was hard to leave the house, but it's like I'm different now. Most of my hair fell out after in the hospital and outside. And I don't know, like, I don't care about any of that. I just live now. Like I feel so alive. And then I just want everyone to know, okay, it's like, you know, the truth before you go, but he confirmed it. Because I'm a lover at heart. I love people. And I just, like, deep down, I've just always known, no, Jesus loves everyone. Even all that rejection that I experienced from the church. And, you know, like, I call them religious people because they don't represent Jesus at all. They just do not. But it's like deep down, you know that. And it was confirmed for me. So now it's like, I want to tell everyone that is real. Like, the love is so real. Those people are lying. You know, they're what they're saying is not true. And I just want to refute that, you know, and want people to know the truth.
Did Jesus have a message for humanity?
He just really kept stressing to me that he really wanted everyone to know how much that he loves them and that he wants to have that relationship with them and be with them for eternity. It was like, So like you're my brother and I'm home with our father, and where he would saying, I really can't wait till Jeff comes home. I love Jeff so much. I just miss Jeff so much. It would like that, like, cause it's not like, oh, well, Jeff's out there doing this and that. And when he comes home, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I miss Jeff so much. I love Jeff. Oh my gosh, look at Jeff. Jeff has his own podcast now. You know what I mean? Like it was nothing but positive affirmations and love. You can feel it pouring out of him. Like when he was showing me, like it pouring out, like through that sound that travels from heaven to earth. It's just pouring out his love to everyone. And he just wants you to come home.
So what happened next? You woke up in your body?
Yeah. So before I woke up, I started to, I didn't understand that I was in a coma. I didn't know what was happening, but I could hear my mom talking to me. This is my adopted mom. She adopted me after my biological mother died. And I could hear my husband talking to me. I could hear doctors and nurses, but I was really confused. And they had me tied down to the bed because they said I kept trying to pull the stuff out of, like, and so they had to strap me down. And I was kicking my mom and my husband. But I heard the pastor from my church. I heard her come pray for me. Like, I could hear that first. And then, because I was kind of freaking out, like, you know, you're going home, but I didn't know I'm coming back into a body that's in a coma. And with that ventilator, I could feel it. And that was very miserable. But I heard my mom tell me, Amy, they're going to take you off the ventilator tomorrow. You're doing so much better and doing good. And when my pastor was praying for me, I remember hearing her tell me, Amy, you're not going to die. You're going to be a miracle. Because they had told my husband, if I do happen to kind of reverse and make it through this, that I won't live long, that I might live for a couple of weeks, and they were going to send me home on hospice if I do. But the crazy thing is, after the third day, and after my pastor came to pray for me and said those things, and she was speaking a lot of life over me, I started to miraculously recover and then go the other way. And when I did wake up, nurses and doctors, a lot of them, and some were coming from other floors that weren't even on ICU to come see me, because they kept telling me I was a miracle. There was just no way I should have made it.
That's amazing.
That was cool.
Do you feel like you are divinely healed?
To come back, yes, because I'm still not 100% me yet. They said it takes about a year to 6 months to a year to feel totally like yourself again. But I've been told, like, by the doctors and stuff, when I did go see the infectious disease doctor that treated me, she came in and she said, I just can't believe you're sitting here in front of me. Do you realize that you should not be sitting here? And I was like, kind of whining a little bit about how I felt. And then about, like, I lost most of my hair, probably about 90% of my hair. And like some of the long parts, it like is just a little left, but I have hairs like this long all over. And I'm kind of like, you know, telling her that, like, and I had a lot of fatigue. And she was like, I don't think you understand that the way you're sitting here in front of me, that you even walked in here, is a miracle. So that's when I was like, so it's like my healing process was accelerating. And then the more, like, I just, okay, I'm going to believe this and accept it and walk in it. So I'm still going through that. But I also believe that Jesus lets us go through things like this, because I had a real hard time asking people for help. You know, I tried to do everything by myself. So I really believe, like, as a loving father, that he might let me kind of slowly walk through this, where I have to, you know, start trust people and let people help me. And it started to develop really positive interactions with others for me. So it was like I'm still healing, like, inside out.
How long ago was this NDE?
It was January 2023. I was in ICU for 3 weeks.
Once you got back, did you notice that you had any new gifts that could possibly be, like, psychic?
Yes. Now, we call that prophecy. Now, I'm going to back up just to before I accepted, you know, Jesus is my personal savior, or start, I want to say, have a relationship with him, because he was always there pursuing me. I was heavily, heavily involved with, I get what you would call, witchcraft. And I had psychic abilities and like a medium. But I learned that a lot of that, I was talking to what's called familiar spirits. And I had gotten really heavily involved in things that just wreaked havoc in my life. So as I kind of shifted, and like Jesus was teaching me, is the psychic capabilities is a gift of prophecy. And like, I've, you know, taken tests and stuff and shown that I operate in a gift of prophecy, mercy, and exhortation, you know, to uplift others. So I worked on that, but there's also a part of the prophecy. It's called a seer. So I used to see visions and have dreams where God talks to me through those. And then like I hear God talk to me and tell me things like I get and with words of knowledge. So after I came back, those intensified big time. Like even people would start to talk to me and tell me their dreams, and immediately like God started interpreting the dream for me and giving me messages to tell them. And like, so like the prophecy gifting and then the like visions, I started like big time seeing, like they were just crazy, or like, not crazy, but they were more vivid. And like, I started having a lot more dreams, and then things that he was telling me, like I started to receive words of knowledge. And that means that you start, like you're talking to someone and you get like really personal things like that no one else would know. And then you tell, okay, I know this is crazy, but God's telling me to, you know, say this to you. And then, and you know, like bust out in tears. And like, I don't know how you knew that. I'm like, I don't. He was like, and then he has like this love message for them. Like, he just wants to love bomb them.
Have you prophesized anything that's come true in the future?
Well, things that I have been told, like in the spirit, yes.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, like for example, the way he speaks to us all different, and in some ways are just really silly. Like, for example, like back in June, he told me, I'm sitting here working, and I started hearing a song from the Temptations, and I kept hearing the part. It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember, and that kept like playing over and over. And I'm like, okay, so he had me take note of September 3rd. And so I'm writing that down. And on September 3rd, I'm skipping ahead. So at September 3rd, like all of a sudden I was like, I was at home and stuff. And I felt that the ground in my apartment literally shake. And it's like, I was caught up in the spirit with him. And then he showed me a bunch of angels. They were holding these big swords, and then they would take them, and then they would strike down on the ground, and then the earth would shake. Like just showing me things like that. Or like if I'm around someone, and it's just like a knowing where you know that they're pregnant, or you know that they're feeling, you know, they're feeling depressed, or they're feeling anxiety, you know, I don't know, you just are knowing that, and you're telling them. And then as I'm talking to them, like I don't want to say any names. That's why I'm trying to be very careful here, because I don't want to, you know, tell people's personal stuff that I've talked to them with. But like, okay, someone is talking to me, and as they're telling me stuff, like God will show me something very personal, and he's showing me like I'm watching a movie screen. And so I'm telling them like, okay, he's showing me like this happened with your mom. And it's like a conversation that they had, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I don't know how you would know that. Or I hear in like a personal conversation they have with their husband, and you're just saying, well, he's just like, he shows them that, but then he's going to speak love onto it and say, you know, I'm working on that relationship. I want to see that relationship redeemed. I want you to like, sometimes people need to reach out and apologize, or like, he's always trying to bring people back together, and he wants love there.
Do you fear death at all?
Not at all. I look forward to it. I used to. I'm so glad you said that. I used to be petrified, even as a Christian, like knowing I have that relationship with Jesus, I was always afraid of how I was going to die and how painful it was going to be. Like I would be sometimes obsessed with the fear of thinking, oh God, you know, am I going to get hit by a car? You know, this is or murdered, or, you know, something like that. I would think, is it going to be painful and stuff? Now it's like, I don't care. I look so forward to going back and being with him that I was depressed for a little while down here when I woke up to be in my body. I was sad. I wanted to go back so bad. It took a while to kind of get out of that funk.
If you had a friend that was suffering over the loss of a loved one, what kind of advice would you give?
This has happened a lot lately. Now, that's another thing he's really used me a lot for, is to share that, to let them know that where they go is so much better than here. There's no negativity. There's no suffering. There's no evil. There's no, you know, betrayal, like some rejection. There's none of that. You don't have to experience anything bad. Like, it's all over. To those things are worse, because then you get down to sickness in your body and pain. You're not feeling any of that, but it is the total love that you feel from Jesus. Even just, I would tell them to picture the person that they love most on earth here, and then that love is multiplied by a billion, you know, the love that he gives us. And that when we're there, you know, with our other family members, they're right there waiting on us too. So we're all going to be together. It's just, for right now, we go home, and then other people kind of have to stay down here till it's their turn to go home.
Amy, after watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask questions. Are you open to that?
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. I'm having that with, you know, I did the video for the Other Side Media, and I've had quite a few people contact me, and happy to answer any questions they have. I would love that.
What's the best way to reach you?
Part of my email. It's, you want me to give that out?
Sure.
Okay. Sites, SITES 61113@gmail.com, or my, Facebook page.
Okay.
I can send you the link. You have the link to that. Sorry.
Right. Have you noticed any changes in your dreams after your experience?
Absolutely. They have been amazing. Now, I've had dreams before, and I've had dreams where Jesus comes and visits me in the dreams. But now it's like when he comes to me in a dream now, it's more intensified, and I feel like our communicate, like, because I know it's him. I know what his presence feels like. And then it's like he taught me how to communicate in that knowing type, you know, where our spirits talk to each other. And then he's taught me like a lot of the symbolic things, like if you have a dream in a bedroom, that's representing intimacy with him. Like if he's showing you certain things in the bedroom, or you go to the bathroom, it's a sign of cleansing, like things like that. So he can speak to me better in those dreams, and then like teaching me what they mean. And then I've also taken like mentorship classes with other dream interpreters, and so learning that. So when other people share their dreams with me now, like he's like constantly in that knowing, talking to me, telling me what the dream means and what he's trying to say to them.
Before we finish up, can you give us one last positive message?
Yes. I really, really want you to understand how much Jesus loves you. And I want you to know that it's very important to ignore what other people are saying, because there's always evil spirits, like a spirit of division, that's going to constantly try to divide. And that's not what he wants. He wants everyone to be together with him. So please ignore judgment or condemnation as far as beating you down, and know that he loves you and he wants you to come home to be with him forever. It's like that's constantly on his heart, and that is the most important thing that he wants us to know, because it's like he just kept reiterating that over and over and over, and then showing me how like anything, like what maybe call the enemy, tries to get in the way of that and wanting you to feel different by the shame and the judgment and just meanness. That's not him. It is not him.
Amy, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
And thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed this. You've been awesome.
Well, you are fantastic. Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.